Hola, welcome to Chilango in Vancouver, and welcome to our first episode. I'm super excited that you guys are back. So today we're going to talk a little bit about me, and I'm going to tell you my story and, yeah, some background details so you have an idea of who I am. So we're going to go for a quick break, and I'll be back to chat with you. So we are back. So thank you again for listening. And I'm going to tell you about me, a little bit about La Chilanga in Vancouver. So as you know, my name is Maria Fernanda, but everybody here in Vancouver calls me Maria. And I am mom of three little beautiful girls. Rosina, the oldest, she's 9 years old. I have Maya, she's 7, almost 8. And Emilia, she's 6 years old. And I am married to a wonderful man. His name is Tony. He is Canadian. And today I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we met each other, because people keep telling me that our story is a super, I can say funny, but you'll let me know what you think about my story. So I met Tony almost 11 years ago, and we met in Bucerías, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And he was there in a vacation with his dad, and I was coming back actually from Toronto. So just a little bit background, my mom put us in rowing when we were really, really young. And I was in the national team of rowing for almost 8-10 years. And I stopped rowing because, you know, I grew up and I started working and there was not enough time for me to keep doing what I loved, that it was rowing. So I started working, and after a few years, they called me back to ask me if I wanted to support a group of women that wanted to go to the World Master Championship in Toronto, as because they didn't have like somebody to support them training for this race. So I say yes, because, you know, I love rowing. I love to tell people what to do. So this was perfect. So I started training with them, and after a couple of months, they become really comfortable with me. We started doing a really good teamwork. I was part of the boat, so I used to be in the that's the person that it moves the boat, the direction of the boat. So if you know about rowing, you know that there is a person sometimes in a big boat. In this case was a 8th women boat, and you need somebody to steer the boat. So that was me. I was doing that. Anyways, they invited me to this race. Everything was going great. I went to the race. It was in Toronto. And on my way back from Toronto, the trip from Toronto to Mexico City, direct flight, was way more expensive as I just took this amazing promotion that it was in actually Red Flag. So if you guys want to travel, go and check it out. Not right now, though. Just plan for future trips next time. But anyways, I checked the promotion, and it was way cheaper to go to Puerto Vallarta for a whole week, all inclusive, hang out there, and then take a bus or whatever to Mexico City. So I decided to do that. And hanging out there, I met this amazing guy. His name is Gunter, and that's my father-in-law. And we were hanging out at the bar, you know, Mexico, drinks or whatever. So we were chatting, and he said that his son thought that I was really cute. So I asked him who was his son, and he pointed to a guy that it was actually turned to me. So the only thing that I could see was his back and his butt. And yeah, he had a really good back and a really good butt. So I was like, well, your son is not bad looking either. So what my father-in-law proceeded to do was go and tell his son that this Mexican woman was really attracted to him and that he should take me for a walk. And when I'm talking about for a walk, you guys, I think, know what I mean. And just in case that there's kids around. So, anyways, his son comes back to me, proceeds to ask me if I want to go for a walk. And by the time I was already hanging out with some friends, and I told him, sorry. And I knew what he wanted actually. And I said, you know what? I'm going dancing with these friends of mine. And if you want to come, you're more than welcome. But yeah, sorry, no walk on the beach with you. And he said that he wasn't going actually, because next morning he had to wake up really early. They were going fishing. And I said, well, that's okay. You're lost. And I just kept walking. And 10 seconds after, he was behind me saying, you know what? I'll go and dance with you guys for a little bit. And yeah, we were dancing. One thing got to another one, and we had so much fun. And there was a big spark between him and I. And yeah, eventually he went to sleep, and I kept partying because I didn't have to go fishing. And next morning, sitting having breakfast, I saw him walking in the middle of the gardens at the resort. And I asked him what was he doing. He was supposed to be fishing, and he said, you know what, I was too tired, and I couldn't wake up, plus I actually wanted to hang out with you more. And that was it, people. We clicked, and since that moment we spent every single day together. And I actually arrived to the resort a few days before that, and I had to leave on Thursday. And he said, you know what, I'm leaving until Saturday, why don't you stay with me for a little bit longer? And I did. I stayed there until he left the resort. And I have to say that when he left, I saw him jumping on the bus, and I was heartbroken, and I couldn't believe how I was feeling this emotional and this sad about a guy that I just met a few days ago. And I thought, well, you know, it was fun, and move on with life. And I went back to Mexico City. He went back to Vancouver. And yeah, I don't think that I actually told you guys this, but yeah, his dad and him are from Vancouver. They were on vacation. And so he came back to Vancouver. I went to Mexico City. And when I arrived to Mexico City, I checked my Facebook, and I had a message from him. And it said, you know what? I got really sick in the airplane just thinking about not seeing you ever again. I think that I want to hang out with you and have to know you more. And I think that we have a big spark, and I think that we could have a really good future together. So why not to try it? And I was shocked because I was feeling the same way. But you know, you don't want to be the person to say that. What if the guy gets scared and runs away, right? Anyway, so it was really nice to find out about this message. And I actually got a message from his sister and from his mom, like, who the hell are you? Because my son has never been talking about a woman the way that he's talking about you. His sister was actually worried about me. She was like, what if she's like from cartel or something? He wants to kidnap you. But anyways, we had a great spark, and we started talking every single day on Skype. We actually used to talk for 8 hours a day. And I don't even remember what we talk about, but we spend a lot of time together. We talk and talk and talk. I had the chance to meet a lot of his, not his friends, sorry, of his stories, and just had the time to actually, you know, talk to him. That I probably have never met somebody that was so open and so. Yeah, so much fun to hang out for 8 hours a day, just not stop talking. So that was it. And then one day he said, you know what? I think that you should come to Vancouver. But I'm talking about one day, like a month and a half after, he said, you know what? You should come to Vancouver. And if you guys don't know, for Mexicans to come to Canada, we used to need a visa, a special visa. And the first time that I traveled to Toronto, I had my visa, but it was just for one entry. You had the option to have one entry visas or multiple entries. And at the time when I applied for my visa, I never thought I was going to go back to Canada in a long time. So I was like, you know what? Let's just do it for one entry. It's cheaper. And after I met Tony, this guy's name, the guy that I'm talking about, his name is Tony, my husband. And when I met him, I was kicking my butt because I didn't apply for my multiple entry visa, right? So anyways, I told him, you know what, I have to apply again for my visa if I want to go to Vancouver and hang out with you and see your surroundings and your life. So we apply for my visa without thinking. Like, I was just like, yeah, let's do this. I get the flight to Vancouver. And he actually said, hey, do we need a return ticket? And I said, no. And he said, are you sure? And I was, yeah. And that was the first time that he was right into our relationship, because they say no to my application of my visa because I didn't have a return ticket to back to Mexico. So that gave them a red flag, like, as I didn't want to come back to my country. And of course, that's what they want you to do. So they denied my visa, not once, but twice. And the second time that they denied the visa, Tony told me, you know what? What about you come to Seattle and we do the process together? Instead of you applying in Mexico, let's go to Seattle. We're closer, we can see each other, and I can help you. So I say, yes, of course. And I pack my stuff and I flew to Seattle. And a little bit of a background there. So my parents didn't know what was I doing. My parents didn't know about Tony. I was really, I don't know. I wasn't sure about telling them that I had met a guy in my trip, that he was Canadian, that he was asking me to go and live with him. I knew that my parents were going to say, like, what the hell are you talking about? And I didn't tell them anything. I just told them I'm moving to Vancouver. I'm going to complete my and finish my career there, and that's what I need to do. And I have to say, my parents were extremely supportive about the situation. I don't know if I could do the same thing to my kids now, but they did. And I thank them with all my heart that they actually just support me and that they trust me. I have to say, I have no idea what I was doing either. I'm just a really lucky person because I could have gone into somebody's, you know, hands and they could have done anything they wanted with me. In the times that we're living right now, we could talk about sex trafficking. I don't know, a weird cult getting killed and somebody taking my organs to sell them to the black market. I don't know. A lot of things could have happened, and I am just really, really lucky that they didn't. And yeah, so I went to Seattle. I met Tony there, and it was really amazing. It was actually on Halloween. It was on October 31st, I think, or the 30th. Anyways, so we met together. We met in Seattle, and the next morning we went to apply for my visa. And yes, you guessed right. The the consulate in Seattle have communication with the consulate in Mexico, obviously. And they could see that I was applying now in another country, and they put me on the side and they asked me, why are you applying for your visa? Like, why are you doing everything that it's in your power to come to Canada? So I explained the situation. I explained that I met this guy and that we wanted to, you know, hang out together, that I wanted to see his country and his city. And yeah. And they eventually said, well, listen, if you guys want to be together, you have to do the right thing. You have to. He has to apply for you to be his sponsor, your sponsor, or you have to find a legal way to come into Canada, not just as visiting, because we have the feeling that you don't want to go back to Mexico. And if that's the case, you have to do the things right. So, we were shocked and we were upset, but we're like, okay, we'll find out a way eventually. I think that the best thing to do right now is me going back to Mexico with my tail between my legs and explain everything to everybody. And yeah, we'll figure it out after. So we did. We bought a ticket back to Mexico City from Seattle. And Tony, at the time, he was working in this company that had him traveling all over the place. And he had to go back to work. So he said, "Well, I'm sorry, I'll book you a taxi and he can just take you back to the airport tomorrow. I have to go back to Vancouver because I have to work." So I said, "Okay, that's good. That's it. We say goodbye." I cried, he cried, and he left. And we said, "Well, we're gonna see each other soon." But today wasn't the time, and that's it. So I was in my hotel room, super upset, trying to figure out life and explaining everybody that I was going back to Mexico when I got a message on Facebook, and that was his dad. And his dad asked me how things went, and I explained him that they denied the visa to us and that I was going back to Mexico. And he said, "Excuse me, we would?" And I say, "Yep." And he said, "Nope, you're not going back. What's gonna happen is I'm gonna call Tony and we're gonna figure it out." So he called Tony and they got this arrangement of, "Listen, you know this is a woman for you. You're doing all this process, you're wasting all this money, you're doing all these steps. Let's just keep going. Like, if she goes back to Mexico, who knows if you are going to see her again." And they said, he told Tony, "Don't worry, I'll go and pick up Maria from Seattle. I'll bring her all the way to Blaine, that it's in the border with Canada and Washington. And then you guys can figure it out. You guys can be together. You can spend sometimes at least weekends together. And yeah, we'll figure something out. But she cannot go back to Mexico because if not, like if she does, she's never gonna come back." So I agreed. Tony agreed. And my father-in-law now, at the time just Gunter, Mr. Gunter, he went to pick me up with Tony's sister. They picked me up from Seattle and they took me all the way back to Blaine. And I remember driving through the highway, just like thinking, like, what the hell am I doing? I don't even know these people, but here I am. And he turned and asked me, "Hey, why do you guys don't just get married?" I was talking to Tony, and I think that that's the best thing to do. And I was shocked. I was like, "Wait, what? Like, you guys don't know me. Like, yeah, we like each other and all this stuff, but what?" And I said, "Well, that will be something that me and your son should discuss, right?" And he just laughed, and Tony's sister just looked super, like, confused of what was happening. She was like, "Wait, what?" Same as me. And yeah, they drove me back to Blaine and we booked a motel and I stayed there and I waited for Tony to come and meet me. And when he arrived, I was super nervous and he said, "Hey, so I was talking to my dad and I think that he had a really good idea. I think that we should just get married and just speed the process so we can be together and you can come to Vancouver with me." And I know that this sounds super weird, and people are like, "What? What? Wait, what? What?" And I say, "Yes." I say yes to him. I say yes to the idea of being married to somebody that I just met a few months ago from another country and somebody that not even like that my parents didn't even know. Just yes, I say yes. So we figure out what we needed to do to get married. We needed a license. So we went and applied for the license and we booked a day to get married. And I sent a message to my parents. I didn't even call them. I sent them an email. And I said, "Hey, so this is what's happening. I met this guy. That's why I'm here. I'm not even in Vancouver. I'm in Blaine, Washington. And I'm gonna marry him on Monday. Monday or Tuesday? I think it was Tuesday. I'm gonna marry him on Tuesday, and yeah, that's what's happening." I look back and I feel so bad, and I have no idea how my parents reacted the way that they did because they were super chill about it. My dad actually just asked me, like, "I would like to know more about this guy because, I don't know what he does. Does he sell donuts or what the hell?" And I was actually upset about it because I don't know, I was crazy. And I said, "What are you talking about? He doesn't sell donuts. He's a plumber." And my dad was like, "Wait, what?" And yeah, so I explained a little bit about him through an email, not even a call. I have no balls, I have no respect, and I just send them an email and explain what I was doing. And as amazing as they are, they supported me and they said, okay, if that's what you think it's the best thing to do right now, go ahead. I don't understand how they kept their cool and how they didn't just took the first plane to Blaine and grabbed me from my ponytail and said, you're coming back home. Like, what the hell are you doing? They didn't. They just support me and they let me do it. And me and Tony got married the Tuesday that we had picked, like the date that we had picked. It was a Tuesday, November 22nd. And that was literally 2 months after we met each other. 2 months. Isn't that crazy? 2 months. And I know that there is people that bet that we were not going to last because it was crazy. I look back almost 11 years ago and I cannot believe that that happened. That these two people like met in a resort. They had a huge spark. And after a month and a half of talking on Skype, they decided to get married. Married in another country, moving everything. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, of course, people thought they are not going to last. This is just a crazy thing. And yeah, we put an extra plus in our craziness when we found out that I was pregnant the day after our wedding. I know. So what happened was that Tony's dad actually told Tony, I think that Maria is pregnant. And yeah, I know, it was weird, eh? And he told him, like, you know what? I think that Maria is pregnant. And Tony came to me and said, my dad thinks that you're pregnant. And I said, nope, there's no way. My period is not, like, to come yet. I still have 5 days for my period to come. So even if I think that it's too early to know that I'm pregnant. And he said, well, there's nothing to do because we were in Blaine and it was the middle of the week and we decided to go and buy a bunch of pregnancy tests. So we got them and I peed in all of them. And I think that after the fourth one that kept coming positive, I realized that I was pregnant. So I came to Tony and said, they're all positive. And we both were shocked, but really excited at the same time. And I didn't know what to do. And I said, what the hell are we going to do? And he just said, well, we're going to start a family. Like, yeah, I'm sure that I want to have a baby with you. And that for me was shocking, obviously. But at the same time, I felt so supported and so loved, and yeah, I felt it was a feeling of reassurance that I have picked the right guy to marry. So I called my mom and she asked me, so how are you feeling? Is there anything, like, how does it feel to be married? And I said, no, like, there's no big change, I still feel the same, but I have something to tell you. And I said, I'm pregnant. And my mom was like, oh my God, Maria, what are you talking about? And I said, yep, we just found out that I'm pregnant. And she said, and how are you feeling? How's Tony doing? What are you guys thinking? And I told her, like, listen, I think that we're ready to do this. And I always believe that things happen for a reason. So we're going to have a baby. And I'm pretty sure that she cried and she said, congratulations. We hung up the phone and that was it. That was the beginning of my life as a mom, as a wife, as a everything. And I know that it sounds really weird. I know that it sounds like, what? Yep. My story of, like, meeting my husband was crazy. It was super fast. We literally didn't waste any time to do the things that people sometimes, take years to do. But like, I cannot tell you how grateful I am that I did it. I met this amazing guy who does everything for us, who was sure, like he literally was sure that he wanted to be with me since the moment that he left and felt this icky feeling in his tummy that he wanted to be with me. And me crying because he was leaving, and I don't know, it was just magical and it was just amazing. And I am just really glad that that happened, and I'm really thankful. But that's the story with my husband. That's how we met. That's how we got married. And that's how we found out that I was pregnant with my first children. With my first, no children, with my first child. That's Rosina. And yeah, that's a little bit of my story. And I know that you guys think that it can't get crazier, but it does. Just before I met Tony, there's like crazy things that happened to me that make me take the decision that I took as well. And that will be in one of my next episodes. So I hope that you enjoyed this intro of my life and how I turned to be a Mexican living in Vancouver. I can't wait to hear what you think about this episode. And honestly, thank you for listening. I know that you guys could pick other things to listen. So if you're listening to me, I honestly am super grateful. I hope that you can send me any messages or you can reach to me through my social media. You can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Facebook, you can find me on YouTube, or you can send me an email at chilangainvancouver@gmail.com. And yeah, thank you for listening. I hope to see you guys soon, and I can't wait to tell you more about me. Have a great day, and we'll see you soon. Bye.